Thank you very much. Good morning, honorable members. Let me start by congratulating C'è il portfolio di quality today, my name is Mbuta Kula, I am the chairperson of the Ocean. I am accompanied by my colleagues on my right, the deputy chair of the commission, Mr. Terry Delany. And next to him, Reverend Bongani Fina, a member of the commission. Next to him, Mr. Natalia, a member of the commission. On my real right, Mr. Mosutu Moyeta, the chief electoral officer of the commission. Next to Natalia, Mr. Tukesi, deputy chief electoral officer, responsible for corporate matters. And next to him, Mr. Sai Mamabolo, deputy chief electoral officer, responsible for electoral matters. That constitutes our delegation.
Thank you very much. I also see members of the media present here, and I'd like to welcome you. I think we can immediately then ask the chairperson of the IEC, I don't know who is going to lead on your side, but to go ahead with the basic presentation as far as the contents of the legislation is concerned. Today's meeting will only about this presentation, and then obviously members would be allowed the opportunity to ask questions and to get some clarification on some of the matters. So, sorry, I don't know why we have such a weird system here, but let me hand over the mic to you again, James.
Thank you very much, honorable chairperson and members. I'm just going to give brief introductory remarks to contextualize the amendment bill, and the chief electoral officer will then make the presentation. Just to remind members that in 2004, the Electoral Act, as it then provides, stated that only prisoners sentenced to imprisonment without an option of a fine could vote. Now, you would remember that NICRO then challenged the provision of that provision of the Electoral Act, and the Constitutional Court found that provision to be unconstitutional, and all prisoners were then allowed to vote. The bill seeks to bring its provisions in line with the decision of the Constitutional Court as it was then taken. The second issue that the bill seeks to address is the right of South Africans who are out of the country to vote. You would recall that in 2009, there were a number of cases that were brought before the Constitutional Court by a number of political parties. These were cases where they were consolidated by the by the Constitutional Court into one case, which is famously known as the case. And a contention before the Constitutional Court was the bill at that time, because it stated that only certain categories of South Africans who were abroad could vote, and these categories were members of the diplomatic corps and the members of their families, people who were temporarily overseas for sports, for education, and for business could vote, provided they were already registered. And the Constitutional Court decided that this differentiation of South Africans who could vote was irrational and had no basis in law, and found that provision unconstitutional, and as a result of that, South Africans who were abroad were then allowed to vote, provided they were already registered. Now the bill before you seeks to bring the law in line with the decision that the Constitutional Court to be the case. So it provides for the registration of the electors who are abroad, and it will therefore allow these Africans to vote, the rights to vote. Of course, then lastly, the bill also deals with some technical amendments which they are not accepted. And with a few remarks, they can contextualize the amendment. Honorable Chairperson, I will then with the Commission hand over to the CEO to make the implementation. Thank you.
Chairperson of the committee, honorable members, distinguished guests, good morning. I'm going to go through the bill briefly and initially look at the objects of the bill. The objects are listed there, namely to amend the Electoral Act and to amend certain definitions in the Act, to revise provisions relating to the registration of persons as voters, to revise provisions relating to special votes in elections of the National Assembly and provincial legislatures. We are also revising provisions related to the number, or proposing revisions to provisions relating to the number of party agents at voting stations. And lastly, we want to correct important technical aspects in the text of the bill, and to look at the matters that are connected with this changes. I will now move to the bill clause by clause. In clause one, we are amending section one of the Act to effect certain technical amendments and to set a definition of a South African passport. We are also introducing a definition of the smart card identity document, which is also a competent form of identity for registration as a voter and voting. In terms of clause two, we are amending section six, which relates to or looks at persons who may apply for registration as voters in the Act. And here we are providing for the production of a valid South African passport for any person who is ordinarily resident outside of the Republic when registering as a voter, in addition to them just presenting an identity document. This requirement of a passport really relates to the currency of citizenship of such persons. In clause three, We are looking at amendment to section 7, which deals with the application for registration as a voter in the Act. And we are doing so to provide for an application for registration as a, of a person to be made in person. Sorry. This provision was previously dealt with in the regulations, so it's not new. It's just been brought into the Act. We are further amending section 7. Of the Act by the deletion of subsection 2, which dealt with some of the categories of persons who can apply for government service. And finally, the creation of an international segment of the voters' roll, which has rendered that provision in subsection 2 redundant. In clause 4, we are looking at amending section 8 that deals with the registration of the voter in the Act, and we are providing that for the entering of a person's name who is ordinarily resident outside of the Republic in the segment of the voters' roll created for that purpose. In other words, a segment of the voters' roll created for persons outside of the Republic. To put this in context, voters may be registered only in the voting district in which they are automatically resident. To register persons outside of the Republic, a segment is created to accommodate these persons. residents when they are actually resident or not resident outside of the Republic. Segments of the voters' role, as you recall, connect a voter with the political entities inside the country, for example, such as a ward linking a person in that ward, in that municipality, and in that province. The ordinary place of residence determines for which legislative bodies a person may vote. Section 8-F was declared unconstitutional in the legal case, and it is therefore deleted. This was a section dealing with serving a sentence of imprisonment without the option of a fine. That has been deleted. In clause 5, these are provisions relating to persons who are prisoners in the main. Reference to imprisonment without an option of a fine, as indicated, has been removed, and we are doing so in subsection 1 of section 24B. We are further providing for the deletion of subsection 2 of the subsection 24B, which has been provisioned that a person may only vote if he or she is not serving a sentence of imprisonment without the option of a fine. Again, this was found to be unconstitutional, and we are very much in line with the constitutional court judgment. Clause 6 deals with special votes. And there, we are removing categories of voters outside of the Republic, which were found to be unconstitutional. We are bringing this in line with the voting dispensation that applied following the Constitutional Court in the Rechter matter. You'd recall that there was a matter in Gauteng and one became, which were consolidated and therefore dealt with as joint matters. We are flattering the existing provisions of to bring greater clarity to special voting dispensation in Georgia. We are also bringing parity of provisions between the Electoral Act and the Municipal Electoral Act. You will recall that just before the 2011 Municipal Electoral Act, we introduced special voting dispensations for any person who was outside of the voting district on election day. And we are seeking to bring parity to this two acts. We are also looking at substituting Section 3 of the Act in order to provide for a permission to allow a person to apply and have the special vote prior to election day in the election of the National Assembly. And I must emphasize, we deal with elections of the National Assembly here, we will deal with elections of the provincial legislature hereafter. And in this, in terms of the elections, special votes for the National Assembly, we are looking at persons that cannot vote at voting stations in the voting district in which they are registered as voters due to them not being able to come to the voting stations on account of physical infirmity, disability, or pregnancy. Secondly, in respect of absence from their voting district while they are serving as officers in an election, or being on duty as members of security services in connection with the election, or absence from the Republic. We are also looking at special voting dispensation, which is introduced for any person to apply for a special vote in the voting district if such person will be absent from the voting district on election day. If one said this, it brings the act then in line with the provisions that we have currently in the municipal electoral act. We are also looking in terms of the special votes for the National Assembly. We are proposing in Section 33. the voting papers before they proceed abroad. You know, these are persons who will be proceeding on election day, they will not be here to make provision for them to vote in the voting stations before they proceed. Such persons must notify the chief electoral officer of their intended absence within 15 days of proclamation. This was previously provided for in the Act, and we are proposing that it be kept. In section 34, we are proposing a provision for special votes for persons who are registered in voting districts in the public, but who will be outside of the public on election day. We are saying that such persons must notify the chief electoral officer of their intention to vote and the mission where they intend voting abroad. Persons must do so within 15 days of proclamation of an election. In section 33.5, it is proposed that provision for special votes be made for persons registered on the segment of the voters' roll for persons ordinarily resident outside of the Republic. In other words, that a segment of the voters' roll be created for persons who are not ordinarily residing in the Republic. Such persons must notify the chief electoral officer of their intention to vote and the mission at which they intend to vote. They must do so within 15 days of the proclamation of an election as well. In section 33.6, it is proposed that votes cast in accordance with subsections 4 and 5 that we have just previously dealt with, and that is votes cast outside of the Republic, will for purposes of Schedule 1A of the Act be counted nationally. The proposed section 33.7 provides that the Commission must prescribe procedures for the application of special votes and for the National Assembly, and those provisions will be made accordingly once the bill is approved in this regard. Clause 7 deals with special votes for the provincial legislatures. When we look at section 33A, it seeks to insert into the Act a provision for the Commission to allow a person to apply for and cast a special vote prior to election day in the election of provincial legislatures if that person cannot vote at a voting district in which he or she is registered as a voter due to that person's physical infirmity or disability or pregnancy. That person being absent from his or her voting district while serving as an officer in the election, or being on duty as a member of the security services in connection with the election, or absent from the Republic for that purpose. Section 33A2 is a general provision for all persons who will be absent from the voting district on election day. And we are seeking to bring this provision in line again with the Municipal Electoral Act as we have currently. If approved, such a person will vote within the voting district on special voting day. When we look at Clause 33A3, a provision is made for persons who intend to be outside of the Republic on election day but wish to vote in the voting district before proceeding outside of the country. Such persons must notify the chief electoral officer within 15 days of proclamation of their intention to vote before proceeding abroad. Section 33.4 confers the authority on the Commission to prescribe application procedures for the application of the special vote for provincial legislatures. Clause 8 looks at the provision section 34 of the Act which dealt with declaration votes in certain circumstances. In practice, we no longer have declaration votes used in the electoral process. And this has been superseded, this provision has been superseded by Section 24A, and therefore we have been in Section 34. Clause 9 amends or seeks to amend Section 57, which deals with the determination and declaration of final results of the election in the Act, in order to effect certain technical amendments. We are also correcting a reference to subsection 2 instead of the present subsection 2c. Clause 10 seeks to amend section 58 of the Act, which deals with appointment of party agents, and this seeks to make provision for sufficient agents if voting or counting at a voting station takes place in more than one room or separately enclosed area. This is a situation that we are providing for, particularly when we are dealing with voting stations that have been street. Each substation in a voting center would have two party agents if this provision is approved. It increases transparency of the electoral process, and also it is brought in line with the Municipality Electoral Act. Clause 11, really it's a short one, it deals with this with the title. That is nothing really there to add. When one of the institutions consulted, the National Party Labour Committee dealt with this matter extensively and was consulted in particular. The bill was also published for public comment. Financial implications. There are financial implications relating to the registration of voters outside of the Republic and the administration of special votes both inside and outside of the Republic. We are estimating or projecting that there will be some 5.7 million associated with this amendment. We submit that the funds, this fund may be allocated from within our existing means. In other words, we will readjust and reconsider our budget to provide for this matter. Chairperson of the committee, and this brings me to an end in terms of the proposed.
Thank you very much. We are going to allow for questions and clarifications now. Maybe I can just start to ask the following. When I understand it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but if one is, in terms of this legislation, if one is ordinary resident in South Africa, but you will not be in the voting district on voting day, being it elsewhere in South Africa or abroad, one can be allowed to exercise a special vote in the voting district for both the National Assembly and the provincial legislature. That's how I understand that, but just indicating that I'm right or wrong. Secondly, if you are, if on voting day you are elsewhere in South Africa, you haven't exercised a special vote now, but on that very day you want to vote in the elections, you will be allowed to vote there in that other province, but only on the National Assembly ballot. And if you are abroad, you are an ordinary resident abroad, but you're South African, you will be allowed to vote only on the National Assembly ballot. Is that correct? And then the other thing I'd just like to know is how exactly would the registration process as well as the voting work when, with regard to South Africans living abroad, will they only be allowed to register and vote at missions, or how exactly does that work? just give us an explanation again? I asked the question previously, but just an explanation again as to why you feel it would be wouldn't be possible to allow a provincial vote as well also in the country or be resident abroad. Any other questions coming from the members? Honourable Freitas, Honourable Maduna Peterson, Honourable Glacera, in that order, first round. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. You've touched on some of my issues which have gone into the room. Thanks for the presentation, very clear. Yeah, just some questions that I have, and that is throughout the presentation on page 5, 6, etc., you talk about a segment of voters' role that will be created. And kind of reading the preparation for this meeting and reading this presentation, the way I understand is that just one voter, if you like, for everyone abroad, how would you distinguish those, the provincial ballots? Or are you saying that people abroad only have the national ballot vote? And if so, why is that? And surely they should be having a provincial ballot as well. It's easy enough to identify, and it's already happening in diplomatic for another people abroad, so if that could be unpacked. Also, if you're saying on that point that only the national ballot will be counted, how then are you going to be calculating the sort of other half of the calculation when it comes to provinces and working out the calculation on the National Assembly, for example, coming from various provinces? If you could explain that, or am I just missing something? Also, if you give us some impact, also you talk about missions, and I see that it still talks about embassies, consulates, and so forth. Surely this needs to be changed. You've got a situation where people have to register now and to vote on incredible, unreasonable distances. If you're living in the Bahamas, I know a particular case in Bostage, where somebody actually could afford to fly to Washington or wherever it was, that's unreasonable. Surely there should be some kind of, it should broaden where it's not limited to South African missions only. You could talk about that. And then,
I can sense the anomaly on the microphone. It's weird. My question, I think, and comment generally in welcoming the presentation is that the anticipation on the part of the Commission and the in the approach that we took. Especially in the last meeting where you said, no, don't talk to us now, wait for the next meeting, so we can see why we have to wait for this meeting. Not all members were present here sitting in the National Patriotic Committees, where most of the time provision is made, the clarity is mainly given. But I think I would appreciate the clarity on the area of those who are outside, which I think I need to emphasize. emphasize on this, and if allow me to belabor this point quite deliberately, so that if a person is allowed to register and you are using the address that the person last sojourned towards, the person was ordinarily a resident in the country, why is it only feasible for that person to register for national ballot and not for the provincial ballot, whilst you are recognizing that this person is in fact living in this specific area within the country? And I think that it's something that I find very strange not to give that person equal right to register for both the national and the provincial ballot to elect the government of one's choice. Just like any person within the borders given the same chance to register. As a way of enhancing democracy and ensuring that the vote is indeed a free and a fair opportunity for the person to exercise their right. The second area is this of this so-called pseudo stations outside where we have counting areas. I think I need clarity, how do you count your ballots, especially if you were to, because our situation here, we are able to sit and observe through the party agents. So how, what provisions are made to ensure that political parties outside the country are able to observe that process and make sure that the process is open and transparent enough to declare the votes as being the will of the people. The last comment for now, maybe there will be a second vice chair later if there are questions, is that I welcome the registration of prisoners without qualifying them. It has been a very serious matter in the past, but obviously registering them in the same form that Mundaga Tarishwan and Rongwin, you can have the consequences that are prisoners. But when they are able to register in the places where they come from, I think I can speak for everyone who leads people that, you know, these people, when they come back, they become citizens like everybody else, or they've always been citizens. But it's just that their rights have been somehow tempered with in the past by not allowing them to register and vote at the same time. Chairperson, thank you very much.
Thank you. We will allow the IRC to respond to this and then go on to another part of the chair.
Thank you. Honorable members, let me start with all your comments and your understanding is correct. As you put it, that the first one, that if you're not good, you will not be in your VT on voting day, you can apply for a special vote and you will be able to vote in the voting station where you are automatically registered, and you will vote in advance. So you are correct. And as far as, and you will get both, because you will be voting in the voting station where you are registered and where you are automatically registered, and you will get both the commission and then you will vote. On voting day, if you are For the rest, I will request my colleagues to respond, and I'll also the issue of asked by Honorable de Freitas on the allocation of vote for people overseas, particularly because they'll only be voting on the national, they'll only get the national ballot and not a provincial. Also the person to proceed to respond to that question. But I hand over the mic to the CEO to respond to questions that he wants to respond to, and he can also ask his colleagues to help him.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll deal with two brief ones. The one by Mema Duna Peterson. The smart card ID is already admitted as a form of identity, even as we speak. So if somebody comes with that, we will use it for registration and voting. Honorable Freitas asked a question relating to provision that was made for deployment to cast special votes. You will recall, Honorable Freitas, that provision was scrapped by the Concord. They were members of the diplomatic community in terms of the previous arrangement, were deemed to be registered in the voting district in the Republic where the head office of their department or department was located. That permission no longer exists. I think those were the questions that I wanted to deal with. The allocation and registration, how registration will work, I will refer that to Simon Olo and the other half of the ballot will be dealt with by the Minister Chair.
The general scheme for the construction of the voter's roll is that a person registers where they are originally residing in a voting district where they are originally residing, and that connects that person to a ward, a municipality, and a province. So that's the scheme insofar as it retains in respect of people inside of the country. The proposition in the bill is that for persons who are ordinarily resident outside of the Republic, it will flout that principle if you were to register them against VDs in the Republic. And for that purpose, a segment of the role is being created outside of the Republic to accommodate those South African citizens who are ordinarily resident outside of the Republic. So it's one segment of the role outside of the Republic, and it will have components, the US component, the Australia component, Lesotho, Botswana, etc. So the registration process will work as the normal. The officials at the missions of the Republic will be engaged to receive applications, and the forms will be sent here for those people to be registered. The critical thing is that those people must have registered before the proclamation of the election. So, taking that scheme into account, it is not, given the scheme, it is not in the best interest of the credibility of the role to use the last address at which people resided in the Republic in registering them outside of the country, because it will not accord with the principle of registering in a segment of the role where you are ordinarily resident. The registration of prisoners, I don't think it was commented from Mr. Taylor, so we will be affording prisoners opportunities to register.
Really. now becomes a question of where your allocation matters in terms of the list allocation. If there aren't any questions, I'll deal with it. But I do assure you mathematically, it does result in an equal representation.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate all our questions and from the others, all of your questions. Just in terms of follow-up from my side, I think it is so. Let me just make it very clear for us. It seems to me that if you are a permanent resident abroad, you register at the mission. And you also vote at the mission, and there is not the mission is not made for voting anywhere else in that particular country. Is that correct? And what is then regarded as the place of registration? The place of registration, that particular city, country, what exactly, where are you registered? What is your, in South Africa we know it's in voting districts. Abroad, is it, are you registered in the Sotho, or are you registered in, where exactly would that be? The second question is, then, once again, you did not elaborate on the motivation for only being able to vote for the National Assembly when you are abroad, or there is resident abroad, or when you are voting elsewhere in the country. Can you just give us that particular motivation? Because I think that's an important point. You have done it before, but just to repeat that. Then further questions coming from the floor. Honourable Maduna Peterson, number one. Honourable Freitas, number two. Honourable Asela, number three. Is that it for the moment? I think this is the last round, unless something very important comes up. So can we then make that the last round? Thank you.
Travel long distances and as a result of my own votes, because it's just simply impractical to, you know, you don't do
So I don't see sort of an accommodation for that. It's done all over the world in many countries where residents are accommodated. So I'm concerned about that as well, because again, those citizens are disenfranchised and aren't at the kind of the level of everyone else. There was one other. The legislation just talks about one segment, and I'm asking why it cannot be sort of nine segments or nine regions.
Chairperson, thank you. I'm very glad to hear as well Mr. Duplessis qualifies my wife through that calculation. It's clear that if you allow that process, you are simply redirect that section 83 of the bill unconstitutional. The argument yes would be, you know, logistical if you listen. It's not necessarily a matter of the constitutionality of whether is this person being given his or her constitutional right to vote, or I would simply say no, it's going to be too much for us to administer. And I think that is the admission that is seemingly coming on the side of the Commission. But we should not make it impossible for an individual to have a free access to a ballot, because that is what now we are being denying these individuals. And I think, Chair, it's something that we should examine whether we are advancing on that cause of saying whether you are outside or inside, you have the right to access to a voter's roll. And I don't think that we are seriously committed to that particular one. And I think here there is a resounding concern that there is a problem with these people who are outside, who are not given equal rights as the individuals who are within South Africa. I would like to be convinced otherwise that Mr. Duplessis, I think you are the best person that could really outline why I'm concerned, because you understood it. When you put it there, you said, yeah, you agree with me. But I don't know why you didn't say it. The other part, Mr. Mamaboro, tried to answer the question by further complicating the answer to then have more questions. I thought you were coming across quite strongly, but I don't know whether in the last section of your answer, say if you don't mind, because I lost you there, and I would like to get clarity on this part. The question was, people who are outside the Republic will register and vote on both files, and then we're trying to clarify this and complicate it, which is linking. The answer will be linked to the question of them voting, because you can't vote unless you are registered. So that part of registration, if you could please clarify it, the Chairperson, thank you.
Let me also try, and then I will also give my colleagues an opportunity.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, it's not as such a question, but I just wanted to just make a comment on what has been presented before us. Because I know after this that there will be closure. First, my understanding is that we, as a country, we're only 20 years, I think, almost 19 years, in democracy. And I think we are trying to say, if I understood correctly, that we should take things step by step. One, there was something that was introduced, the previous elections, if not the two previous, in terms of people voting where they are for their provinces. You know, and during, if I am not in the Northwest, I can be able to vote in the Western Cape. Is that correct? And out of that, we learned a lesson. Because people relaxed wherever they are. We didn't go to our provinces. We voted where we were. And the IEC was unable to pick up the number of people that are in that particular province who do not reside there. As a result of that, there was a shortage of ballot papers. And that created a crack where people began to doubt whether people voted correctly in order. That, to me, is a lesson enough for us to say, are we ready to then campaign? We need to go and vote outside the country for the provincial elections. I mean, category. To me, obviously, who are honest, it is not an exercise that can be readily available. Two, I think there's a provision for the provincial vote for people who are outside. And what the IEC is saying is that let us have a 15 days notice when a person is to leave so that that person votes before he leaves the country. So it means it's only a limited number, very limited, I think, that cannot vote. That means if I am not, I know that I will not be in the country during that particular day, then I can then apply for a special vote within 15 days. Then I will be able to vote in the country. If I understand correctly, and I see my then assist that day, then I will still vote for my province and the National Assembly. That is my understanding. Again, I do not see us flying ballot papers on the election day to Russia, to Germany, and wherever, because we would have not been able to pick up who is not there or in the country. And we might be having the only number, even we were in Russia, and in Russia we were told that some of the South African citizens which are there in the embassy doesn't even know about them. They never report even in the embassy. So you would not even know the number of people that are there. And people might register to vote, yes, but there will be those who would have interest to go and vote on the voting day because there's this opening. So I think we are trying to say, let South Africans, I think that, if I understand the IEC, trying to say, let South Africans be responsible enough to be able to see the importance of voting in their country, or if they have to make provisions before and they be able to be vote, allowed to vote. I think it's an opening that is big enough to say you are allowed to vote for your province and the National Assembly should you make arrangements before. And I don't think we can then blame or try to say the elections or that particular opening unless there is something that we know that some other people don't know. Lastly, when we were in Russia, and in that time, in different times we were there, if you recall, that we were made to go and see a company that is printing IDs and passports. And we had a radical engagement because of what happened there when he had to showcase our security features of our passport there, and we had an issue to say that we don't think we are safe. What happens to the security of our documents there? How sure are we that people that will be voting there would be genuine South African people, private companies can be able to print and duplicate documentation that we hold. And I'm saying there's a whole lot of ranges of things that we need to look at rather than look at let's just vote. And I think it is important that indeed we agree with IEC for now to take things step by step until we're sure what we are going to do is going to be good for our country and for us as a whole. We don't just look at the numbers of voters, how much we can earn out of that or what, but look at the real issues that have to take our country in a certain direction. But Chair, thank you very much. I was just confused in terms of people who are imprisoned who would not be allowed to vote. But I think that has been clarified to say they are now going to be allowed to register irrespective of whatever. Thank you, Chair. Thank you to all the honourable members for the questions, the follow-up. South Africans who will be outside South Africa on voting, they will only register and vote in our embassy and missions because those are South African territories. That's the reason why we use only South African missions in the abroad. And we have also benchmarked this against what happens in other countries. In most countries that allow overseas voting, and by the way, it's not all countries that allow their citizens outside the country to vote. But in countries that allow they use the missions and the reason because that's the country, our territory. The scheme that we try to adopt here, before I give my colleagues the opportunity to speak, is to treat all voters equally. If you are in South Africa on voting day and you are outside your province, you forfeit your provincial ballot. So, we want to treat South Africans in the country staying as South Africans abroad. Because they will not be in the country, we will only allow them a national ballot. That's really the scheme of things that we have come up with. And maybe let's just try to, and our reasons also for excluding a provincial ballot for South Africans who will be in South Africa but outside their province is not logistical. It's mainly the credibility to safeguard the credibility of an election. Let me give you an example. We'll have more than 20,000 voting stations in this country on voting day. If we then have to ask each South African who will be outside their province to tell us where they will be on voting day. Let's take one station in Cape Town. In that station, you will have people from 9 provinces. And in advance, you then have to transport to each voting station 20,000 of them ballot papers for national and for 9 provincial ballots separate. And try to imagine how many will turn up at each of these 20 voting stations. Now, counting time comes. Because in these voting stations, you have people from all over. And how do you count and in a way that will secure the credibility of that election? Because when we count, for example, in a voting station where people are registered and they vote where they're registered, you just count the ballot for the national and for the province. So in this particular voting station, you'll have a national ballot and ballot for all the national provinces. And
the safeguarding of the credibility of the election, I think, is our main reason for this. I can ask my colleagues who want to. Okay.
I'm also going to
support what the chairperson is saying in relation to the provincial board. There are two issues that are important. The first one is that we've got to protect the integrity of the voters' roll. And all the political parties are aware of the logic of the voters' roll. We've been part of this. The logic of the voters' roll that we're using is that you register where you are resident, where you are working as a resident. And that you vote where you are registered. It's a logic that we've been accepting all along. And it's a logic that has actually helped us to have such credibility in terms of the election that we've been running. So it is important that we continue to have the kind of the voters' roll that is credible and that has got integrity. Now, having said that, and then the issue, the logic of logistics is integrally connected with the integrity. So you can't disconnect one from the other. If, as the chairperson has indicated, during the national provincial elections, you've got basically 10 ballot papers that are different. Because parties that are participating in the elections in each province are different. And then therefore, the ballot papers are going to be different. Now, if we've got to deal with having to ensure that in each and every voting station we're accommodating the kind of the people that we've talked about, it is going to require us to make sure that we've got the ballot papers of those different ballot papers in each and every voting station. Now, in the queue we're going to, and then I can assure you, if we do it, we are definitely going to have problems. Because we're going to find people now who are complaining in a particular area, I was in this area and then my ballot paper from KwaZulu-Natal was not there at that station. And it starts becoming a ripple effect all over the country. And before you realize it, the poll election integrity will be in question. People will be saying, no, we did not get the ballot papers in this area, the ballot papers. Now, we've got to be running around trying to follow people with the ballot papers. It is not only going to be a logistical nightmare, but it's going to cut at the center of the credibility of the voters' roll. But it is also going to be a costly and messy exercise. And we're going to have difficulties pretending that those elections would actually be free and fair under those circumstances. And I think if we accept the logic of what we have been doing all along, to say you've got to register where you are ordinarily resident, and that you've got to vote where you are registered. It must be the basis upon which we deal with the issues. And I was very happy with the Honourable Member's intervention, because she is saying, indeed, we are not just trying to say we are disenfranchising people. We are putting in mechanism in order to be able to attend to those people who will not be there on the day of the elections. You notify, and then 50 days, we will be able to ensure that you vote during the special votes before you actually vacate the area where you are. So, these mechanisms that we've put in place are the mechanisms that we're trying to make sure that we are able to give every person a vote, but at the same time, still protecting this precious, precious document called the voters' roll. We've got to work together
to make sure that we protect the integrity of our voters and its basis and its logic.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. Mamadula, the question on ID card and smart card, we will use all forms of identity for registration and elections, whether it's an ID, green barcode identity book, or smart card ID, both for registration and voting in the country and outside of the country. Thank you very much.
Just on one issue of clarity, the calculation that I showed is based on one ballot, a national ballot that is taken into account on three different levels or perspectives. It has nothing to do with a provincial ballot, that is a separate ballot, just in case there is any misunderstanding.
Good morning, members. Just on clarity on the identity document, Honourable Peterson, in terms of the Identification Act, it's already been defined, the card has already been defined in the definition of identity document in the Identification Act. You have to align that. So, indeed, as the person is indicating that you'll be using the barcode ID or the identity document, it's going to be a phased-in approach, the identity card that's going to come in. So just to align it with the legislation, and there are transitional provisions in terms of the Identification Act dealing with ID cards that is already in place that deals with that. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and other members and officials of the IEC. I think we can leave it at that for the moment. We are now, our next phase, and these members have a very strong point that I want to raise, but... Okay, I'll allow that. That's fine. Let's just quickly try and... And this is the last round. If you're not in this round, you're out.
I have...
Yes, we want to make sure that our processes
are not in question the next time around, because someone says it's unconstitutional here, it's unconstitutional there. And in this point then, Chair, I would like to get the opinion of the state law advisor on the question that I was raising about people registering or not registering who are outside the Republic. Even though we're going to engage, you know, through public hearings and other processes, but that on this particular session will be present here.
Thank you, Chief, for your indulgence. I just want to just understand, because my understanding is that a South African abroad may register an admission or whatever the case is. That's just for the clarity on that. And secondly, is that as things stand, is that a South African abroad may only vote or register at admission, high commission, whatever the case is. Is the IEC saying that that's it? And a person living geographically far away from admission, would have to fly in or whatever and may be disenfranchised if they're not able to.
Yes, thank you. We can have a quick reaction as far as that is concerned. It would be appreciated. It seems to me that that what the IEC is trying to say is that the logic of the proposed as well and how it works is that you register where you're ordinary resident, and then you have a vote in that particular province as well if you vote in the province. Otherwise, everyone must be treated equally, although it might be easier perhaps to have the required number of provincial ballot papers at admission abroad, for example, than to have it at each voting station. It would be discriminatory, maybe problematic to allow people who live abroad to have both a provincial and a national vote, to allow those outside the province in South Africa that they are voting only to have a provincial vote. And I think that is the motivation for treating them equally, then those ordinarily living abroad and those voting outside of the particular province where they. Can we have a final reaction? I assume that we'll take it as that for the day.
Yes, you correct, Chairman, in your summation. When we responded to the issue of South Africans abroad and why they registered and voted in their mission, I think there are no criticisms. Because we said that we use the missions because that's the South African territory.
Thank you. Okay, let's leave it at that. We are not, it's still quite a process lying ahead. Just to give an indication as to the rest of the program in this regard, we have called for public submissions. Closing date for that is the 6th of September. Then the plan is to have public hearings on this bill on the 10th and 11th of September, on the 17th of September to have a response by the Electoral Commission on the submissions during the public hearings, and then the deliberations on the 18th of September and the 19th of September to have further deliberations and then also a decision on the situation. So this is the program that we are planning to follow at the moment. So the next step is then the public hearings following the us receiving these submissions by closing date the 6th of September. And I'm sure that all the political parties would also go back to their caucuses and get instructions from there with their own debates in their own ranks.